Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osier continue their discussion on a small called Articles, looking at Part 3, Article 9 on excommunication. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary, establishing students in the eternal and inerrant Word of God for a life of faith in Jesus Christ and faithful service in His kingdom since 1964. To learn more or apply, look at flbc.edu.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osier.
All right, welcome back. We're into a new batch of episodes today as we continue to walk through the small called articles. Today we're on 3.9, Article 3.9 on excommunication.
Yeah, before we jump too far into excommunication, did you want to, Brett, since this is your baby, say something about the conference this week?
Yeah, I think it'd be good to just point people to our website, beinglutheran.com, as we look forward to the 2024 Being Lutheran Conference on the campus of the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary, and very excited for that. I don't know if we said last time, but our theme is Out Loud, Being Lutheran Out Loud, and very excited to have guests, special guests, Gretchen Ronovic and Mr. The Flame, or the Flame.
Mr. The Flame.
Mr. The Flame. That's our kind of...
I can't wait to hear his reaction. Like, for one whole interview, all I wanted to do is call him Mr. The Flame.
Yes. And so we'll have a great opportunity to hear special presentations by them and also by us three, and be able to interact with us and just have a great day just talking... talking shop and just rejoicing in God's truth. I'm sure we'll have to keep a vocation counter that day. How many times we say vocation or
have a
or
pool
that said.
At the yeah. for a door prize?
Yeah.
Are we going to give away prizes? I hope so. They'll come.
We've got some things that are as of this recording are still undecided, but we're working on it.
But I want to give them something.
A Learjet.
The people that, if they get 7,000 or 7 million Being Lutheran points, we'll buy them a Harrier jet, just like what Pepsi did, remember, back in the day?
Oh, I was going to say, Being Lutheran points worth almost as much as Table Talk Radio points.
I was going to say, those have expired, I think. all right. Well, let's jump in here today.
Fittingly.
Excommunication. Right. This will be interesting. And I don't know. Have you guys ever been excommunicated?
I have not. But one of my favorite bits of church history is when the three popes were all excommunicating each other.
It was nice to have three, though. Yeah. You know, it's nice to have one in the wings.
And it's like as close to a Mexican standoff as you're going to get with three popes
pointing at
each other. No, you're excommunicated.
Like the Savannah episode of The Office. Yeah. And at the end, playing that Moira game. Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Well, I don't know. How did we get here? You asked if I'd ever been excommunicated, Brett.
Yeah, have you ever been?
It's a long story.
Okay. Ooh.
But I have never been denied communion. So, nor have I ever...
Wait a second. You can't give us that much. Well, you got to give us a little more there.
You never know. Like, I say things, as we know on the radio, that maybe don't come off how they're supposed to sound. And so, I've had to explain my way out of some excommunications at times, you know?
Okay.
I can sound heretical.
You're basically the Charles Barkley of this podcast.
I am, exactly.
That's a good comp.
The round mound of rebound. Yeah. I'm round. Anyway, I don't know where we're going with this, right. Brett. No, I have never been officially excommunicated by anybody, but I know people who've wanted me excommunicated.
But they wanted
Luther excommunicated. Yeah. And
he was officially.
And he was kind of. I mean, it's kind of. Well, he was. Yes. What was it legitimate? We'll find out after Brett reads this article from the Schmoll called article.
Let's read the article before we get too off course here, but it's 3.9 on excommunication. It says, "We consider the greater excommunication, as the Pope calls it, to be merely a civil penalty which does not concern us ministers of the Church. However, the lesser, that is, the truly Christian excommunication, excludes those who are manifest and impenitent sinners from the sacrament and other fellowship in the Church until they mend their ways and avoid sin. Preachers should not mingle civil punishments with this spiritual penalty or excommunication. And that's the end of the article. That's the whole thing.
You know, for as simple and direct it is, it really does the work, though,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Right.
And, you know, I think kind of the talking point for us in this first part of the episode, because there is some content to be fleshed out later, but this excommunication is really all about unrepentance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. And, you know, on air, off air, we've had several conversations about the process of church discipline,
yeah,
and how that is used and how that is misused or abused or all of this. When it comes down to it, though, everything is about unrepentance geared toward reconciliation and restoration. And that's what, you know, in the church, we lose that far too often because we almost immediately will devolve into tribalism and into political factions and everything like this. And, you know, I think as we, you know, we're going to be talking for the next four episodes about excommunication, we would do well just among the three of us to make sure that the focus is continually on unrepentance as the cause, the reason, the center of the topic of excommunication.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to tie in, I just thought of this now, but just the keys. What relationship is there between that topic and this one? Is this, I mean, the keys is more whatever you bind on earth, bond in heaven.
Yep.
Is it like excommunication as a topic as a fleshing out the application of the keys?
Yep.
Is that a good way to say that?
In the same way that absolution is the fulfillment of the key of the gospel, excommunication is the end or the telos of the key of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And not that that's the purpose of the law, but that the law brought all the way to its conclusion without repentance. Excommunication is the apex of that. Right. And we would confess, based on everything else we confess about law and gospel and the office of the keys, the purpose of the law is to bring about repentance. That's why we have the law. But the law preached without repentance ends in excommunication. It ends in judgment.
The law, say that again. The law preached without?
The law preached, and where repentance isn't generated by the preaching of the law, the end is excommunication and execution of judgment.
Yeah. I think that's a good summary, that it isn't just immediate, you know, that a person's excommunicated immediately, but that the law has its time, has its effect as it's proclaimed to do its work to convict and to bring to repentance. You know, definitely, I think that's key. I think this is an interesting article because there are so many, the word is used very often, you know, in our circles, at least, you know, we're pastors, teachers in a, you know, Christian school. The word excommunication is used often as a joke or something, right? You know, like
papal bulls, indulgences and excommunication.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like that song that you've sung that on here before, before my time.
Right.
But yeah, that was a song we all got to learn in church history. But we talk about excommunication and Luther, in a sense, is poking a little bit. Well, I mean, his whole MO is poking the
Luther,
bear of the Pope. You know, he's just like, you know, he does it the wrong way. This is how it's to be done, right? So excommunication was, you know, thrown around back in that time. And today we talk about it almost jokingly, but it's something that's actually ignored in the church, which I think is problematic. That the preaching of the law, there comes a point where the preaching of the law for conviction, you know, the Holy Spirit takes and does that, right? I mean, the law is preached and he takes that word to convict sinners. Right, and as he does that, and repentance doesn't happen, we often talk about excommunication, but rarely do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And that is something that I think we need to think more seriously about as Christians, because even the end result of excommunication is not it's not judgment. It's not that we are executing eternal judgment on a person's soul as we are church leaders looking to discipline somebody who is living in sin. It's to draw their soul back. It's another. You talk about the end result, Jason, but I think it is a a point at which the church can go no further, yes, but it isn't the end in terms of its work to bring sinners to repentance. Because excommunication itself, and I think we'll see that especially when we get into some of the New Testament, looking at that, at our New Testament passage, I think we'll see that the purpose of excommunication is actually to bring people back into repentance. It's still doing the work. It's still the goal of bringing sinners to a crushing conviction so that the gospel is received in its sweetness.
No, and I think that's a good way to explain it. It's not the end as if, that's
like
it.
The final judgment.
Yeah. It's even excommunication is designed to bring about repentance. We talked last week about Simon Magus. And it's that the separation of fellowship from the brothers is designed to bring about repentance. And you saw, whether you believe it was earnest or not, you saw him cringe at being rebuked by Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing. I think, at some level, at some point, we all have to acknowledge that in modern American Christianity, and this isn't even the notorious GAC, but in all branches, probably, I think it's fair to say that church discipline is broken.
Mm-hmm.
That we really...
So we need to make it great again.
You make church discipline great again. Yeah, no, it's... We really don't have a good... I think it's because we're so fiercely independent in America. And it's that libertarian don't tread on me spirit mingled with the notorious GAC's tendency towards consumerism.
Yeah.
Where it's really hard to execute church discipline... And have the appropriate gravitas.
Yeah, and going on that, like the consumerism idea, that is a problem in the American church too. And I'm not just saying the GAC. I'm saying that there's a lot even within our church body and within Lutheranism. There's a tendency to become lax with church membership.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's part of this too, is the idea that, well, you just come, consume, get your coffee and comfortable chair and sit and listen to a sermon that's engaging and gives you 4 points on how to live better this week. That's a problem.
It's like a TED Talk.
It is. It turns into TED Talk, and I can take it if I want. I can change the channel if I don't like this anymore. If this is boring me, or if I'm not engaged, or if I have better things to do, or I find something else I want, I'll go do that instead. And that's what the church has been. And church membership is absolutely key to this conversation, because in committing to church membership, to be calling yourself part of the congregation, you are a baptized believer living according to God's word, declaring that this is how I am going to conduct myself. And if not, if I step out of line, I need your discipline in order to keep me in line. And I don't know, and maybe I'm strange on this, I want that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want that in a congregation.
Right.
I want somebody to say, Adam, you're being stupid, because I am stupid and I'm too stupid to know I'm stupid sometimes. Right. And I find myself wandering down the way, but to have somebody kind of grab you and shake you and say, listen, this is not the right path. That is what the church is to do. The leadership of the congregation, the spiritual leaders of the congregation need to step up, and they need to do that.
Right.
And we're so afraid to do it.
Yeah.
We're afraid to do it because, and this is one of the biggest things that I see in a barrier to this. Well, we're all sinners. Who am I to judge?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a complete misrepresentation of the office of the keys. Because the office of the keys isn't you judging.
And it's
it is the word judging. It's the Lord's declaration.
We lack courage, and we let this kind of vague sense of niceness take over, where, like you're saying, well, we're all just sinners here. But go ahead.
Well, and so a couple of things with that. But it's at its basis, church membership is treated as we are all trying to be the most popular social club.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like we don't a normal college where they have the where they're trying to recruit people for frat houses and sororities. I forget what that's called.
Rushing?
Yeah, rush day or something, like that. It's kind of like, can we just be the most popular thing? And we measure things by popularity and by butts in the pews. And then we turn around, and our sense of church discipline goes out the window because church membership goes out the window, and you, like, it's a lack of courage.
Yeah, yeah.
But beyond that, it occupies, I think, in a lot of people's minds today, it occupies the same thing as confessional subscription, where it's entirely unnecessary now because my views are private and personal to me.
I just believe the Bible.
And it works for me. Well, but that Christianity yeah. works for me. As, yeah. You know, it's Jesus is just all right for me. You know, Doobie Brothers and DC Talk getting together. And when everyone has their own unique, personal, private faith, these pillars of what make the church start to fall, mm-hmm. and that's why the church is so broken. And so, like, we think somehow the notorious GAC has spread this lie that creeds and confessions are a violation of sola scriptura. It's a complete misunderstanding of what sola mm-hmm. scriptura is, right? And the freedom there is for a believer to be under a creed and confession that does the work of helping you interpret scripture so that you know where you're lined up. And that's not to say you uncritically accept it. It's you accept it because you've looked at it and like, oh yeah, this is a fair explanation of what the Bible teaches. And that's why I line myself up. And then now it's like a buffer zone. It's you know, like a fence, and it works well. The same thing for church membership is that there is protection mm-hmm. in aligning yourself with a local, physical, tangible body of Christ. And it's not just for the purpose of voting. Now, there is something to say about that you need a defined group of people to conduct church business because the church is an external organization.
And you're making decisions.
Yep.
And you have to, in keeping with the Word of God, too.
And you have to make those decisions from a position of unity, which is right. why you have the governing documents in everything like that. But it's the unwillingness to submit voluntarily to that sort of thing is what gets us into this problem in the first place. Because how do you discipline when church involvement is amoebic and formless and abstract, and you can take it away just as easy as you can give it?
Right. We need a robust, meaningful church membership process.
Yeah. Another aspect or avenue of that is when you find yourself in that kind of consumeristic mindset like you're describing, and you don't have any strong cohesion or commitment, and therefore not any real buy-in to the mission of this congregation. When you do, if the church does attempt church discipline, you oftentimes see people want to run from that too. Okay, well, you're not going to give me communion. Well, they'll give me communion over at this church,
Not giving me communion at First Lutheran, I'll go to Second Lutheran.
Exactly. And a lot of times we run away from that discipline, which is another violation of what God would want us to do and to set us and keep us accountable within the body of Christ. Now, absolutely, this gets abused, right? Mm-hmm. It absolutely, and discipline gets abused, and we see that in different congregations as well. You see where people will overplay their hand on church discipline, and it really becomes about kind of a cult of personality with the leadership, and that's a problem. But at the end of the day, that there are ways to evaluate that. Is what is being said of me biblical? Is this truly a sin? Show me from the Word of God that this is a sin. You want the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, right, as the Word is preached. And you can evaluate if it's the wrong thing. But if it's the right thing, the best thing for your soul is to sit there and to take it and to endure the excommunication aspect of things so as ultimately to find the goal of repentance.
Yeah, to be chastened.
Right.
I honestly, and this is, meant a little bit for humor, but I truly believe that most people, if they have a conception of what excommunication looks like, to them it looks like the Dwight Schrute shun episode. Mm-hmm. where it's done as a matter of convenience to the church. So shun, I need some of you unshun. Will you do this? And to be honest, it's fair to as we're looking and saying, the people. Lay people don't have a conception. Well, it's because it's not taught well. Mm-hmm. Is the churches haven't practiced it well. Mm-hmm. It's not taught well. And this goes back for Lutherans to teaching law and gospel and teaching confession and absolution and teaching the office of the keys. Yep. And it's a reminder that forgiveness isn't this vague abstraction of you feeling better. That there's a transactional nature to forgiveness, that your debt is canceled, that the gospel is applied to you, that the whole system of comforting the burden conscience and assurance of salvation as laid out for us in things like the Book of Concord, as it explains how long gospel is taught in Scripture, we need to get back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a divine participation in the order of how he has laid it out to be followed. And I think that... it's important to make note here. I'm talking about every sin is not necessarily where you jump into excommunication, right? Because there's time to repent. There's a process that goes on, and we'll talk about that a little bit. I feel like I've jumped a little bit in some of the things I've said into like, well, you sin, you know, if you're wrong, then you get excommunicated. No, there's a whole process in there. I want to be clear on that.
You're using your uncle's Netflix, Pastor Sean.
Yeah, Sean. No, yeah, and that's the thing too. It's like it's not a silent treatment. That these people are doing. It's not a, I'm better than you. As a pastor, you're absolutely right that I sin. And I am called to that same level of, I need to examine myself and I need to hear the word of God for my sin and I need to repent, which is interesting because in a lot of traditions, Lutheran traditions, that is, not all within our church body, the AFLC, but some, where the pastor will take communion first. When the sacrament's being offered, that the pastor takes communion first, not because he's the most important, but it's the picture that he needs Christ too. Yep. It's the declaration of, I need Christ, and I, you know, this gift is for me, it's for you, we need it together. So it's never about, I'm better than you, that's not what this is about. And I think people take it that way. Mm-hmm. People take it as though they think they're better, they're all, you know, self-righteous. No, people need to understand that done rightly, this is a declaration of God, not of man. And just like the office of the keys, it's a declaration of God, not of man. And both sides of the keys, right? The key of gospel, the key of law, you know, the declaration of forgiveness isn't because I like you and I just don't, you know, don't really mind. Your sin didn't bother me that much, so you're good. Don't worry.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all.
Just being a channel to say what God has said.
Saying what God is saying.
Yep.
And that's exactly what it is with communication. Am I any better? No. Do I deserve excommunication because of my unrepentance? 100%. Absolutely I do. And we need to remember that. That's, you know, that's part of this conversation. And I think a better articulation of that within the church would make for healthier churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a realization, this all comes together, moralistic therapeutic deism, mm-hmm. that kind of generic American Christianity, it does not allow for the existence of excommunication. There's nothing to separate you from. Mm-hmm. That there's no substance
that would make you feel bad.
Well, yeah.
How could that be therapeutic?
Yeah. What would we cut you off from other than your feelings?
Yeah.
And so that's the stopping point, I think, because then we'll build into what actually excommunication looks like next episode.
Let's do that next time. Yeah. Thanks for listening, and catch us next time as we continue this conversation.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Register now for the Summer Institute of Theology, August 5th through the 9th. Join other pastors and lay leaders on the campus of the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Learn from featured guest Dr. Harold Sinkbeil, author of Care of Souls. Additional workshop topics include Means of Grace in the Congregation, the Book of Romans, Lutheranism in Scandinavia, and Youth and Family Ministry. Find the full list of speakers and registration information at flbc.edu/sit. God bless you and have a great week.